Om Shanti. My name is Sister Sharona, and I'm currently on service in Israel. And it's really my great pleasure to be able to sit tonight with Sister Jayanti and share you with her and share her with you, because I have always seen Sister Jayanti as a very, very great soul. And I think that those of you who know her feel the same. One example of this greatness, I think, Sister Jayanti, you just arrived in India this morning. And direct from that arrival, she's here on stage, sharing of herself, serving. So should we give an ecstatic round of applause? Of love and appreciation.
I think it's actually that gently you should be applauding, because she has the inspiration and pulls the strings and makes us dance.
That actually answers my first question. Because as long as I've known you, you were always giving. Always giving. Late into the night and early in the morning. I can remember even when I was in the United States on service, and you needed us to be calling at what was your time, something like 3:30 in the morning, because that was the only way it could work out. And I didn't even realize that. And years went by in which that was the time she was sharing with us. So my first question is just, I'd like to hear from you what drives that giving, in the sense that many of us would experience an evolution in our own giving. Did it always come from where it's coming from now? What was the shift? Was it just a sense of obedience originally? Is it your love for God, your love for Daddy, your love for us? What's been the journey?
We have to finish at 7.
Isn't it? No. 7:15.
Okay, well, firstly, I'd just like to say that it's beautiful seeing this gathering here, because when I left Madhuban exactly a week ago, it was just a handful of Baba's children and a couple of hundred guests who were here. And in this week now, I was hearing the news on the phone from Daddy that every day it's hundreds and hundreds coming. But it's really beautiful to see this whole gathering. And it's a very auspicious day to be back. It's the new year. And so, Sal Mubarak. Happy New Year. And the first motivation for giving was, I can date it, it's changed. It's changed through the years. But the very first moment when I thought that this is what I need to do, and I was so shy I couldn't speak in front of 3 people.
I'm sorry. I've heard that before, and I've never been able to believe it. She couldn't speak in front of 3 people.
It's absolutely a fact. But it was that I had received knowledge that had changed my consciousness and my life dramatically, very, very dramatically. Even today when I think of the knowledge of soul, just the amazing detail of that information is actually, it stretches your mind. And secondly, the knowledge of God. And I didn't know these things. And so when I discovered these things, I thought of all my friends who were that, I was in India, my friends were in London, and I thought, they need to hear this. And so I decided I needed to have training to be able to share these things. So that was the first motivation. And then very quickly, Baba insisted that I start speaking, because there was no other English-speaking sister around and available. So drama pushed me into that role, and then Baba became avyakt. And I was shocked in the sense that I knew that I had come absolutely in a sense at the not even 11th hour, but like 11 and a half hours, just literally just before Sakar Baba disappeared. And then the motivation was, the souls who are coming now don't know Baba. And yes, I understand that it's possible to know Baba on an avyakt level, but again, the sustenance that I'd had directly from Baba, now I had to give a return for that, and so that was very powerful. And that's what brought me to London. And London was my time of not giving, between 1969 through to 1971, 72. Even after the centre started, it wasn't such an active role, it was more incognito. But that was a time of filling and tapasya. And then 74, Daddy came to London and pulled me along with it, dragged me. She dragged me along with her. And from then on, I've just been aware that, again, the sustenance that I've had, and especially the early days when she was discovering the West, she was understanding Western psychology, she was understanding the culture. It was such an amazing training, and like being a fly on the wall and understanding how she dealt with things, and just as a translator. And so it was the most incredible training. And so today, that very, very powerful motivation still, I've had so much, and so how can I ever say no? I have to be able to give.
Can I ask you something personal?
Well, it's all personal, isn't it?
See, because I am very deeply touched by that reason. I would have been dictated by that myself over the years. But I know that in my journey there was sometimes a little bit of a struggle where my head said that, but I was tired. Or I was influenced by some of the people I was serving. And so if that's ever happened to you, how did you work with that? How did you turn that around so that what your head always knew, and somewhere the heart would have been in that too, that could lead?
Yes, both things are true. I've been through both. And the first one, the question of physical tiredness, it interfered with my yoga. And so I would say to Daddy, but I'm not able to have yoga because I'm too tired. And it took me years, I have to admit, that it took me years to get to understand that yoga wasn't a question of time. Mm. Yoga was a question of the heart. Yoga was a question of awareness and attention. Mm-hmm. And so many of you now come to me saying that we don't have time for the self. Mm-hmm. And then you hear Daddy say that she gives 95% attention to herself and 5% to service. And then you look at her timetable, and it's quite the other way around. That, you know, never mind even if Baba says rest is best, but yet you see her continually serving. Yet her attention is inside, focused on the self. And so it took me years to come to understand that physical time was different to inner awareness and attention on the self. And I think today I'm able to understand and appreciate that and work with that. So I do know that, yes, I can be externally physically busy, but internally I can keep myself in another consciousness and keep myself light. And then you find yourself in a position where others around you are getting tired and heavy and you have to help them. And so, you know, the echo comes back to you and you remember what it is you're saying to them and you remind yourself. And the second, yes, there's never ever been a thought that I don't want to belong to Baba from that moment of recognition. But there must have been a few instances in which I thought that because of the strong sanskars of another individual that I wasn't able to deal with, and they were having a very, very powerful effect on my happiness and my stage, I thought, I didn't come to Baba for this. I didn't come for all this stuff. And I didn't want to give lectures. I didn't want to give classes. I don't want any of this. I'd rather just sit in Madhavan. And I think Daddy G got tired of me saying, Dadiji, I want to come and stay in Madhuban. I want to come and stay in Madhuban. And Madhuban wasn't an active field of service at that point. It was a retreat place more. And it was only in 1985, 84 also, I was on a very, very extended trip with Daddy across the US. And we would go from one city to the next. And it was, you know, Dadiji's health was very different at that point. And so we'd arrive in a place, be there one night, next day, off again. And we'd arrive at a place, and of course it was absolutely jam-packed. But the times that I'd have with her on the plane, an hour, 2 hours, short hops, I'd say to her, Daddy, have you thought more about this? And so she kept getting the same conversation from me, the same question. Daddy, when can I move to Madhuban? When can I move to Madhuban? And she just kept smiling. Her patience is infinite. And but she also kept saying, no, it's not possible. No. But I hate to admit this, but it wasn't penetrating, even though it was Dadiji saying this. And then there was this amazing experience of January 85, or maybe it was 86, but sometime later, and it was January, because the season always started in February at that point, but January, I'm in Washington with Muniban, Wadi, we are thinking about a new center, and that was another whole story, living in a household with three dogs and a woman who wasn't a Gyani woman. It gives you an idea of the things that we went through in terms of service. But Madhuban tracked down my phone number there, and I get this phone call saying, come to Madhuban as soon as you reach London. I was leaving for London a few days later, and so I'm in London basically a day in transit, and I come to Madhuban. And it's because Daddy had organized this private meeting with Daddy. I can see many hearts thinking, oh, I wish. And so I don't often share these things because I know that drama, and it's impossible to replicate them. But I'll tell you anyway. It was Baba's room, and Baba's room was still the small room, not the extended room. And Baba was sitting, Daddy Gulzar, Baba's medium, sitting on the gaddi, the little gaddi which is still there. And it was a very, very small group of us who were there. And the purpose of the meeting was Baba coming to meet the Madhuban Nivasis, the main responsible instruments, because there'd been quite a backlash from Abu Village. They'd seen the success of the conferences, they'd seen the press publicity, and so the Abu Villagers basically were reacting and all sorts of things. And so now we were headed for another big conference in February. And so the question had to be put to Baba, how do we deal with the situation? Our guests are coming, but there's a reaction from the locals, and you don't know what's going to happen. It's an explosive mixture. And Baba's point to them was yoga and love. They're jealous. They're jealous of your success. And so make friends with them. And so that became a whole PR campaign, not just artificial PR, but going out, making friends with them, and so on and so on. And that had been the main purpose for Baba to come in that little private gathering, and I had the good fortune of listening. And Baba said another thing that was very lovely. Baba said that, do you remember the story, this was to the group, do you remember the story where they say that when the sannyasi didn't believe that the king had actually become the conqueror of attachment, and he went around everywhere asking, this is not Janak, this is another story, but he went around everywhere in the kingdom asking, have you conquered attachment? Has your king conquered attachment? And the whole kingdom was one in which everybody had conquered attachment. So too, what's being said from the platform shouldn't just be said from the platform. That's only one level of service. Everybody involved in everything, right from transport to cooking to serving to accommodation, every single department has to reflect the qualities of love, of peace, of truth, the attainments you've had from Baba. And when people see this, and when local people see this also, then they'll believe that yes, there's something that's right that's happening here. And so today when I see the model of Madhuban in many countries everywhere, where there's so much work, physical work that happens, I remember that it's through all those different 42 departments, whichever it may be, whether it's the plumber or the electrician or the painter, you know, everybody has to reflect those qualities. Then people will say, ah yes, it's not just people from the platform who do service, but it's everybody. So that was a beautiful lesson that I learned at that moment. And then people were asked to leave, and then different individuals came in front of Baba. And I had that opportunity about midnight, had to do the bus here till midnight, but that was okay. And then it was literally Baba and me. And Baba's really had a heart-to-heart conversation. And then one of the things that Baba has said is, child, do you know who knows best? And I go like this. And the mother said, but surely it's Baba who's kept you in London. It's not your desire that's kept you in London. And so that's where you need to be. Baba has put you there. And I couldn't argue anymore. I stopped kicking and huffing and puffing. I just accepted it. And since then, there's been a different awareness. And yes, even just being in London 5 days now was gorgeous, because, I mean, it was Diwali time and I could see that they needed a grandmother. We've got lots of mothers in London now, but you don't have grandmothers, and so I needed to be there while Daddy was here. And so it's still today, I'd say that going anywhere else in the world is a breeze, easy. It's London that's my challenge. But of course that's true, that the place where you have roots, that's the place where you have samskaras and karma. And that's where you have to sort out your samskaras and karma. It's not by a shift of venue, but it's by being there and knowing that Baba has put you there. I think that's the shift that has to happen, knowing that Baba has put you there.
Is the shift also coming into this awareness that everything I'm doing is for myself?
A little bit, in the sense that I've always been very aware that my stage, my consciousness, my service is really for my fortune. It's my fortune. I'm not doing anyone else a favor. If I were to move out of the scene, the gap would be filled very quickly. Others could create their fortune, no problem. No problem for Baba or Daddy or London or anywhere else. But yes, I'm doing it for myself. And really a very deep realization just yesterday. You'll say nothing new, but you know when you've thought about something and then finally something really touches you very deeply. Somehow I got my Hindu calendar dates mixed up. I don't know my Hindu calendar very well. So I thought it was New Year yesterday. And then suddenly everybody tells me New Year is today, which is fine. I've had two New Year days. But I thought it was yesterday. So I was thinking of, well, what's new? And so that whole question of the whole subject of accounts. And of course, every time you pick up Baba's Murali, it's right for the moment. But the subject in which Baba said, talking to instruments in particular, you come to Baba, you're fortunate. You become 100 times fortunate. You become million times fortunate, multi-million times fortunate, multi. And so Baba went on. And so my thought had been, well, if through the last year there have been mistakes, and I don't know about you, but I know that's true for myself, how do I look at those mistakes and still say that, is it possible for me to experience multi-million times fortune? And the way I can do that is, if I can look back and I can see that that situation and that person has taught me something. And again, in a general way, we'll all agree with that. but I was looking at it a little bit deeper in the sense that anger, for example, how often have you thought, how often have I thought, let me put it back to myself, that I've dealt with it. You know, I've really understood the genesis of this, the roots of it, I'm going to deal with it, and Baba's given me such fortune, there's really no reason for that to come up at all. And then yet something will trigger a reaction, maybe not anger in the way that it was 10 years ago, but still there'll be a reaction that isn't the stable, calm peace that Baba wants me to have. And the realization that here's this individual and here's the situation, and if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have been able to recognize that there's another layer that I still have to address. I'd have thought, it's fine, I'm okay, but I'm not okay. And so the appreciation that it's because of this individual or this situation that it's out in the open, and now at least still, I don't know how much time we have, but at least now I have the time and the possibility of dealing with it at this moment. And so the fortune of that was something I was appreciating yesterday, that it really is very valuable having people around you who can push the buttons and help you realize it's actually good fortune. The first realization of this had been, again I can date it, because around 77, 78, Madhuban, and it was just Pandav Bhavan, and Madhuban courtyard, and a soul who was very, very instrumental in London in service. And today she's a changed personality. She's a saint, actually. But at that time, much older than me, but also with a very explosive nature. And most of her explosions were related to service, in that where she saw that service didn't happen in the way it should, you know, the sparks would fly, a fire would fly. And Daddy said to me at one point that this person has such amazing yoga and does such amazing effort, like she'd catch the night bus at 3 a.m. and would come to Baba Bhavan. Was it Asa? Yeah, so it must have been 79, the days of Baba Bhavan. So she would catch the night bus where she lived and would come to Baba Bhavan to be there 10 to 4 for Amrit Vela. So that was the quality of her effort. And she had a full-time job, so it's not that, you know, she was sitting back through the day resting. Very demanding job, but her effort. And then he said, but you know, these are the things that happen. If she didn't have to deal with the sanskara of anger, her effort is more than you and many others in Baba's house, which was true. She'd be part of the eight. And so everybody has their own tests that will help them achieve whatever is their stage. But Madhuban courtyard, and in Madhuban it was no external service to be done, just sort of looking after the household matters and babies. So that was okay. I didn't have much interaction with her. But I'm coming out of Baba's room, and she's turning the corner around where the clinic is, and coming there just where that signboard says, Bap Dada, welcome, you're home. And she says to me, Sister Shanti, I've realized something. Baba sent me to make you become karmatit. And we both laughed and were able to give each other very deep, genuine, loving drishti.
That's a happy ending. I want to ask you a few things about what you just said. What's a saint?
Somebody who's unperturbed. Today, I used it in that context of this individual. She'll do the simplest tasks in Baba's home. She'll do the most complicated task in Baba's home. And she'll do it with a smile. And I haven't seen her stage fluctuate, because she took the time just to work on herself.
Yeah, this is a major key that keeps coming up. Because something else I wanted to have you talk about is, you were saying that the benefit in working with people who press your buttons is at least it's out in the open. And you have a chance to acknowledge, you know, it's the whole arena of humility could start there. I don't think a lot of us are doing this anymore, but it could still be an issue. We don't put things out in the open. Maybe because of our ego, the image we carry of ourselves, but it's repressed. So the buttons could very well be being triggered, but we're not putting it out in the open. Would you talk to us a little bit about that and how we can move through that?
One of the things I've, again, seems, you know, how come you realize these things only after decades? And my hope is that some of you who don't have decades have realized these things quickly, and Baba's help will help you move forward very fast, and it's possible. But when there's discontent, then the discontent is causing a restlessness inside. And there's ego, there's anger, there's all sorts of stuff, but you're not dealing with it. And I think maybe a very basic realization is that I have to address that discontent in terms of jnana and yoga, not in terms of other people, what they've said, what they've done, history, circumstances. My discontent is actually not because of that. My discontent is because I haven't taken Baba's jnana deeply and understood it well enough. I don't have that heart connection with Baba that Baba was talking about in yesterday's Murali. And so, if there is discontent, then, and I can feel it, there's no way in which you don't feel it, of course you feel it, but that's the lid, that's what keeps everything suppressed inside. You don't want to express it, you're rebelling, you're reacting, but it's all of it still there. And so first address the discontent, and I see that the way to do that is the appreciation of fortune, really to see my personal fortune and how much Baba has given me already, or even how much Daddy has given me already. Souls who come today, how much time are they going to ever get with Daddy? And not for everybody, but for many. We've had huge amounts of opportunity, whether it's through classes or small groups or conversations, whatever. So just the appreciation of the fortune that I have had, whether it's the sustenance, whether it's the service opportunity, whatever, whatever. And to sort out that discontent inside. Then there's a solid foundation in which I can start looking at things with honesty and humility. While there's discontent, it's always going to be projection outside, but also it's not going to be a cleansing of the self. Another thing that came to me very strongly from yesterday's Murali was this whole aspect of, okay, new year. And Baba was talking to new students at that point, be careful and clear. These were the two words Baba used. And so, careful, there's a lot that's inside, and don't think, well, how come people in the past 30 years, 20 years, and they haven't made it? Oh, I can make it very fast. Watch out, careful. But also then the clear, to be clear with myself. I'm not even talking about expressing things to other people. That's another step further down the line. But just to be able to be clear with myself. If I'm discontent, if I'm not experiencing the attainments that Baba's given me, well, what's wrong? What's going on? You know, it's like really back to the stage of agyan, without gyan. And so let me stay in that stage of gyan. I loved Baba, I loved Gyan, this is why I came to Baba, this is why I was ready to sacrifice everything for Baba. And so let me rediscover that innocence of childhood. You know, and Baba says, remember the days of childhood. For most of us, remember those days of innocence, of the intoxication of jnana and discovering Baba.
Two words that you mentioned, I would like you to elaborate on as well. You mentioned the word jealousy a little bit earlier before, and actually this other word that you haven't mentioned, but I think it comes in the same bag, sensitivity. Part of our homework for this year was to finish all traces of anger, and he identified jealousy as the subtle trace, one of the subtle traces. So if you could talk to us a little bit about how we work best with jealousy, because I think it would be interesting also to hear what are the subtle signs of jealousy. Like, we might not even realize that we're operating from jealousy because it could be so subtle. And sensitivity keeps the heart so fragile that we're backing off and repressing unnecessarily often.
I'd just like us to take a visit back to Baba's last meeting last season, and where it was as if Baba was saying that even Baba coming to meet us was dependent on the fact of our transformation. And so for some time we had a question, is Baba going to come? And then somehow we've just taken it for granted it's business as usual. You know, okay, it's October, it's Baba season, we're preparing to come to Madhuban. And I think we've forgotten the homework. And it's good that you reminded everybody now, because I think Baba hasn't forgotten.
We've got how many days left? Like 8, 9? It's not too late. But we need to be clear about this. Okay, go ahead.
Because I you know, took it very seriously at that point when Baba was speaking and I was there sitting in that gathering in front of Baba. I took it seriously that it'll be a question as to whether Baba comes or not. And then it sort of rolled into, okay, let's fix the date, let's fix the group dates, and, you know, everything sort of carried on.
Actually, Sister Jayanti, if I recall correctly, he was actually saying that those of us who did not undergo this transformation would not be allowed to come.
That
he would come. I thought he was saying he would come, but that individually we would not be allowed if we didn't hand in the right chart.
Okay, I can't remember which way it was.
It is worse.
But certainly around August time, a few people were asking Daddy, both by emails as well as personally, I know that my track record hasn't been accurate. Can I come? And so, and by then, of course, the dates and things were fixed. And then Daddy would say, as you would expect, at this point, how long she can carry on saying that, I don't know. Okay, if you realize and you're willing to change, Baba's the ocean of mercy, okay, come. I don't think she said to anybody, don't come. So that was it. But I'm seeing that, yes, it is a factor that we haven't given it that serious attention. And I know it's a little bit that story of crying wolf. You know, the little boy cried wolf, and then when the wolf actually did come, nobody believed him. So Baba's been giving us these deadlines, and things carry on, things carry on. And so I think there's a little bit that feeling for most of us, well, it's going to take a little bit of time before the world is transformed and this, that, and the other, and the other. But my understanding of that is that in Sangam Yuga, however long I've been with Baba, and whatever time I've lost personally, now this was from Daddy Gulzar's message about Dadiji, that the moments of Sangam Yuga, the greatest treasure of Sangam Yuga, you know, Lakshmi, the treasures that they remember, but the treasure that they don't know about that we have is the treasure of time. Every moment of Sangam Yuga is so precious. And so my sense today is that whatever time has gone by in which I didn't make that intense effort, it's not going to come back. Which doesn't mean that the door is shut. I don't say that. But definitely time has gone by, which is why I'm trying to put a positive approach on the whole subject. Okay, even if that's what's happened, let me see the fortune of having been able to learn my lessons. And if truly I've learned my lessons, okay, it isn't time lost. But I don't want more time to go by now, because I see that A, I have no guarantee about myself. Last year, and for 6 months basically, my body was out of action. But it also meant that the soul was also out of action. It wasn't just body out of action. There was a big impact on soul in many different ways. I could not have imagined a month earlier to that, that my body could ever go through that, because, you know, I'm the one who's able to manage everything. That had been my reputation. Younger than me, older than me, I've seen them go through all sorts of horrendous illnesses, and I just haven't. And yet it happened to me. And so I don't know when anything's going to come as an obstacle that's going to prevent me from making effort. And the other thing is that I am seeing that, okay, Dadi Janaki is 90, Dadi Kumarika is 86, and my deep, deep feeling is that Baba's going to keep them with us till the end of the kalpa, for many different reasons. So, for me, there is the question of time. And so, how much more leeway am I going to give myself, or am I going to apply myself very deeply now to do the inner work that I need to do? And so jealousy, one of the things that hit me very strongly was when some years ago, Dadi Janaki said that the root cause of jealousy is laziness. I'd never thought of it like that. But her point was that I'm seeing someone else's fortune and I'm not appreciating my fortune, but also I'm jealous of their fortune, but have I done the work that they've done? They have that fortune for some good reason. You know the law of karma, you know, lady luck isn't something that just happens. But we determine our fortune, we determine our destiny, we create our fortune. So what is it that they've done? So rather than this feeling that gnaws away inside, I wish, but let me see, what is it that I can learn from them? What have they done that's brought them that fortune? That's one thing that made a lot of deep sense to me. And the second was even earlier. This was in the 80s that I remember that he said this. But way, way back, it must have been even 1972, 73, before that he came to England. And that he was in the little room which Dadi Ratanmoini now occupies. Dadi Kumarika on one side and Dadi Gulzar on the other side and Dadi Janaki in that little room there. And there was a meeting of the Dadis. They were having, I knew it wasn't a business meeting, it was a chit-chat meeting. Again, my good fortune in that tiny little room. I was sharing that room with Dadi. And so I knew that there was going to be a meeting, and about 8 daddies were all going to come into that tiny little room. Just imagine the power in that room. And they were going to have chit-chat. Dadi Janaki told me that. And of course there was no way that I was going to be invited, and there was no way that I had any right to be there. But oh, my heart was there. I was doing other things outside, whatever were my duties, because I was in Madhavan for an extended time, living in Madhavan. And so I was doing whatever duties I'd been allocated, but I knew that they were having this meeting, and my heart was absolutely there. I wished, I wished, I wished. And afterwards, in the afternoon, Daddy said to me, "Well, you wanted to be there, didn't you?" And my face was a giveaway. And I think I was nearly in tears at that point. And she said, "Always remember that your fortune will always come to you. You will never be denied whatever is your right. Your fortune will always come to you." And I think that's helped me in so many, many situations. It's really something very precious to keep in your heart. What is your right, nobody can deny that. You can't put a finger on this one, that one, or the other one. It's going to come to you. And you'll see proof of that. And so the lesson, really, Baba's in charge, Baba's giving me everything, and so let me be content. Why I keep coming back to this thing of content and discontent is because, again, good fortune. After many years, I travelled with Dadi to India when I came for the Peace of Mind retreat. And in that, Dadi had shared how she finds that Baba's children aren't even peaceful. Now, you know, we are the messengers of peace. Om Shanti is the mantra we give to the world. Just a minute is the slogan we are using currently. And peace is our original state of being. Was it in yesterday's Murali Baba said that? You know, discover your own original precious state. So, how come Baba's children aren't even at that first rung of the ladder of Om Shanti? And then she said, it's because they're discontent. She said, there's 1,000 different reasons why we become peaceless, but the root causes discontent. And so she'd picked up on this a lot. So, since you know, you hear something that makes a lot of sense, and so you keep applying it in different situations, so the things that you're asking me, to me, is coming back to that factor of contentment.
That's very useful, what you were sharing before about how you deal with that discontent. What about sensitivity? And also, just jumping ahead to our next question, one of the other things Baba was checking in February 25th, not necessarily the homework, the chart from the last, from December 31st, but on the 25th he also mentioned not giving sorrow and not taking sorrow, and that we're especially not succeeding in no longer taking sorrow. And I think that could be everybody's experience. Just like we trip ourselves up with anger, we're tripping ourselves up with yet again having taken the sorrow. So why do we do that? And what's the way to see us through?
There's a word that Baba uses a lot, and that's being introverted. And again, it's basic, it's first lesson, first day. And so the question of, is my attention out there extrovert, or is my attention inwards introvert? And I see that because we don't remind ourselves of these basic things, which is why I feel absolutely certain that last so fast is a reality. It's not that it's Baba just pacifying those who are coming today, but it's a reality because decades with Baba, and we've loved Baba, we've served Baba, we've surrendered to Baba, we've done everything that's made all of this happen. You know, without us, it wouldn't have happened. That's a reality. We're all, you know, instruments to have given a finger of cooperation to make all this happen. So it's not just, you know, looking at my negative stuff, but appreciating all that has happened. But I think for most of us from outside Bharat, I can't speak of Bharat, I just don't interact with souls in a deep way sufficiently to know what's going on. And I'm glad that there's others looking after that. But outside of Bharat, it's such a basic lesson of introvert, extrovert, and we haven't given enough time and attention and energy to that basic lesson. And another thing in terms of sensitivity, because there was somebody who came to Dadi some weeks ago, and she said to Dadi that it was so strange that she's been in Gyan about 7 years. She said, it's so strange. I find that at my Lokik job, others are able to cope much better than I'm managing. And I would have thought that as a Rajyogi, and her disciplines are absolutely accurate, so it's not even that it's a breaking of Srimath on any level. Amrit Vela, you know, timetable, Murali, all of that is accurate. And she said, Daddy, I can't understand what's happened to me. And she was in tears, even talking to Daddy, and obviously she gets into tears at her work situation. Little things happen and she gets very sensitive. And so Daddy was telling her that when it's Laukic life, then you put on a mask and there's a courtesy of politeness and you build that up day by day. You know, there's an ego that you create and there's an identity that you've, you know, positioned yourself in, and that's who you are, and so you play that role. You come to Baba and those masks have been stripped away, and so you don't have that external identity to hide behind. Now you're face to face with yourself, and then that comes out in Laukic, Alaukic, every situation. But through that process, just remember that, okay, let me connect with Baba inside and see what Baba has given me. And just remembering how much Baba has already given me, never mind how much more effort I need to make, but how much Baba has given me already, just hold on to that and appreciate that. And so one reason is that the masks have gone. The second reason is that others, Laukic, are not in the business of settling karma. They're still in the business of adding. And so it's okay, a bit more added, a bit more added, and it carries on. But Baba's children are very much in the business of settling karma. And so things come up and they're very raw, they touch us very deeply, and so they pull us apart, and it's the process of sanskaras and karma being sorted out. And so to know that everybody's going through that, and so let me not put a finger out there again and say, why did they say this, why did they do this? But they're going through the same process that I am. And so the expectation that we have from others is a very high one. That person's talking about Laukic situations, but especially in Brahman situations, we have a very high expectation that the other should be right. Doesn't matter whether I'm right, I'm expecting the other person to be right.
So it all comes back down to this real work of turning the focus inwards and seeing my own self. Mm-hmm. Again and again and again. In the time that we have remaining, I'd like to just switch it to one other arena. And that is, like Baba would mention, even in the February 25th vow that he wanted us to take, that we needed to be giving a drop of liberation to all souls. And what I wanted to hear you share on is, is that something that we're to be doing consciously? Is it a systematic thing which we give specific time to? Or is it more just like a feature of the our stage as it purifies?
Three different things. One, that yes, as my stage moves in the direction that Baba wants it to go in, automatically others are picking up something and benefiting from that, yes. But also two other things, and that is that whoever you meet, actually consciously see them as a soul. And most times we don't remember to do this. When we're in that mode of inner attention, we do. And the results then are very dramatic, they're quite different. Just see every individual you're meeting as a soul. And there's nothing visible you do, nothing visible you say, it's just your awareness and how you are seeing them. But there'll be a different response you get from them. And of course you can only see another as a soul if you're seeing yourself as a soul. And so if I'm in that awareness, then I'll see others in that way. And so I see that in terms of spiritual work, that's what I need to do more and more and more. But on the other hand, I also see that the sort of possibilities of projects that have now started. An interesting statistic I discovered, I didn't know this till I went back to London now, 30 million people saw Just a Minute. whether it was through the broadcast by Sanskar Television, India and some other countries, whether it was webcast, and every person who's a Brahmin I meet in India tells me they saw that. Now non-Brahmins, I don't know, because I haven't met that many, but certainly I'm meeting the Brahmin family here and there and wherever just in my travels, and they all tell me that they saw the program. And so it became a vehicle that somehow captured the attention of media. I mean, I did, I think, 25 radio broadcasts in the space of 2 weeks. I was juggling, trying to keep up with, I forget, am I talking to Trinidad or am I talking to Africa? And somebody had to, you know, write it all down for me to make sure I mentioned the right country. And even then I slipped up once and I said Trinidad instead of Jamaica. But anyway, the point that it just somehow seems to be a project that Baba's given that's sparking interest. We did not imagine in February, when things were beginning to gel, that it would happen like that. But 30 million with one event, well, that's, I think, giving people a taste of peace, because that's what they remember. They remember Robin Gibb's song. They remember also the minutes of the silence. And so I see that Baba's creating vehicles for us through the media. You must have Karuna Bhai come and talk to you about the statistics of what happens here in Bharat. But I think we have many hours of programming each day that go out all over India on different channels. Some days it's 3 hours, somewhere else it's half an hour, I've forgotten detail. But it's many hours of programming that's going out. And so these are the drops of peace, the drops of liberation that people come to know about. And again, I meet many people who say, ah, I saw this, I heard this, are you the same organization? And then they'll say, yes, I must follow it up. But you know, they're mukti souls, so maybe they will follow it up, maybe they won't. But it's okay. It's serving the whole tree.
Just taking it one step further and watching the clock. By the way, how much time do we have? Mira is somewhere.
We should finish at 7:15, so okay. There's a little bit of time for yoga.
Okay. But taking it one step further, because this now enters the whole realm of service through the mind. And I have understood on several occasions, especially through Bhog messages, Baba has been indicating to us that one way that we can be there for Dadiji is to share good wishes and pure feelings, give good wishes and pure feelings. And I realize that I'm not sure that I know how to do that. And it means so much to all of us that we would be able to give some kind of return for all that Dadiji has given us. So could you talk to us a little bit about that and help us confirm that we are really contributing?
Okay, I'm going to say something that probably many are going to challenge. It's okay, I don't mind. But I think that Dadiji's current situation, I mean, I saw Dadiji for a day when I went on my way to London last week. So I was there half a day, not a day, I was there for half a day, but I saw her for several hours. And it became very clear that Dadi understands what's going on, Dadi knows what's going on, Dadi is absolutely in command of herself, and it's like she's made a conscious choice not to get involved in the day-to-day things and any of those things, but like Baba said, be the goddess of peace, the goddess of love, and be able to just simply share that. And so my hope is that I saw a recovery happening, and so I think that that's going to continue. But I don't think that is going to go back to the same role that she played 3 years ago. I think she's consciously chosen to play a different role. And I ask myself, well, when I have yoga, am I supposed to be remembering Dadiji? And okay, so Bhavi uses the word nimit. On one level, on a superficial level, we'll say, okay, let's have special yoga. But Daddy doesn't need my yoga. Daddy is with Baba. There's nothing else except Baba. Like you heard the message, you know, the love with which Baba massaged her forehead, her head, her, you know, you heard all that. So I see that it's a stimulus in the drama to make me have more yoga than I would normally, to be able to clean out my heart, my mind, so that then really I have a mind that's qualified to serve. There's a very interesting discussion we had with the Call of Time dialogue maybe about 4 years ago, and a guest who actually came now for heart-to-heart conversation with Betty Jemke for her celebrations in September in Oxford, Alfredo Seferiunas. He was at that time a senior vice president of the World Bank. So he was co-facilitating with me, and the topic was going to be Mansa Seva. And this group of high-powered individuals decided that they didn't want the translation into service through the mind or service of the mind, because it would split the subject into those two camps. Which one is it? But they wanted to keep Mansa Seva. And so we kept that word, that term. And the first question he raised within the first half hour of the dialogue was, Daddy, tell me, what does it mean to be qualified, to be able to do Mansa Seva? Just as in any other work, you need training and preparation and qualifications. And so what is it to have a mind that's qualified to serve? Now, you've heard enough Muralis and enough classes to know what that his answers would have been. But it's essentially this whole thing about cleaning, cleansing. And so Dadiji in her present situation is a reminder to us, extra yoga, extra cleansing, and yes, out of my love for Daddy, I want to give that return in terms of transforming myself. But it's not a need that she has, it's a need that I have.
I think that's beautiful. Really, that resolves months of kind of wandering for me, because it didn't add up. You know, just exactly as you're saying, how could anything I do be of help to a Dadi, especially Dadi Kumaka? So that's immensely helpful. Maybe just to finish up with the minute we have left, is there any advice you would like to give us? Because you were mentioning grandmother before, and that's really funny. I've never realized that you could be called grandmother by several generations of us, actually. She was kind of my mommy, actually. And there have been many that have come after me. So you've watched us, and you know us. And so even just from today or your last journeys, and while you've had moments of reflection, is there any particular thing you're noticing that we're not noticing and maybe we should be, and you would like to point out that no one else could really point out?
I don't know that no one else could point out, because Daddy is incredibly honest.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't keep anything back. And it's something that I think you all know about, but maybe it's again a reminder for what we need to do in terms of inner preparation before Baba and a start of the new year. And it's really to forget about role consciousness. We get so stuck in the Brahmin family. Outside they're stuck, that's understandable. You know, the nameplate outside the door gets changed and their world falls apart. So we know about that. But in terms of the Brahmin family also, and it's actually a manifestation of ego. And you've spoken about discontent and jealousy as being deep things, but of course the deepest, deepest, deepest thing is ego. And I don't think there is a single soul who is free from it except the dadis. And I have seen that the dadis are completely free from ego, all of the dadis. But for all of us, I think that going deeper and deeper, and earlier we were talking about sensitivity. If I'm a little bit sensitive and I'm still experiencing some sorrow or pain, that's the signal. It's ego. The sign of ego is pain. Really, there's no two ways about it. I have to accept that it's my ego that's causing me that pain. But when we get stuck into roles, then that creates a huge amount of pain and a lot of competition and problems and difficulties. I think it's time to really realize this and let go of that whole thing of role. When Betty Gently came to London, nobody told her, "You are the coordinator of services abroad." She just came and did what she needed to do. Just made herself available for Baba's work. Then the title came very recently because we needed to fix labels for the world out there. She didn't ask for it, but the world out there needed it. So let me just be content and do what Baba wants me to do, where Baba wants me to be, and forget about all the externals of role and parameters and definitions, and you know, we get stuck into all these things.
So it comes right back down to that real work, doing that real work, recognizing my fortune. Who am I and what is my fortune? So this has been wonderful. I feel so happy that we had this time with Sister Jayanti. She's always very busy, never ever denying us any free moment she has, and tonight is the proof of it. I'm even going to say something, and maybe you won't be happy that I'm mentioning it, but I decide to say it anyway. She actually told me when I went to her room beforehand that it's a good job this interview is today, because her throat is so sore, by tomorrow she's not going to have a voice.
It's dangerous to share things with Brahmins.
Thank you from the heart.
Okay, what I've been requested is to do a commentary for about 5 minutes, so we've got about 15 minutes, so it won't be talking all the way through, but just for a few minutes, just to move into that awareness. Aware of who I am, shining star of light. With one thought, I fly to Baba. My Baba, the Baba whom the whole world remembers, has found me. And not only do I say, my Baba, but Baba says, my child. And in this awareness, I find myself surrounded by the ocean of love, the ocean of light. This is the highest fortune of all, to be with Baba. love that's able to fill me. The love that's able to fulfill all my needs. I absorb this love and light within myself. That Baba's love is infinite, and I know that that love is reaching out to every corner of the world. Awakening, reminding, and healing. Baba's love is the love of the mother, accepting me totally. Baba knows, and yet Baba gives me love. And it's this love that gives me hope and courage to move ahead, to take a quantum leap. Baba's love empowers . This love reminds me of who I truly am. I stay in this awareness of my eternal, original state of being. Connected with the one I belong to. And Baba's magic works on me. Continues to serve the world. I hold this awareness